Well,
but then
you were quite making
a little bit more money, too. Yeah, I was making a little bit more money. And at one time, so I had some help from the welfare department. I think I got $16 a month, if you call it that. But
yeah.
It did, because it paid the rent. My rent wasn't $16 a month. And I had three rooms. I was in the project. And I got paid every week from the laundry. And I got a girlfriend now that we talked sometime in Arkansas now. She had two or four children. And we used to go to the market on Saturday evening when we get off from work. And we used to buy food according to the day of the week. So we would say, well, Saturday we didn't count Saturday because we would do those special things for our children, like hot dogs or hamburgers or something like that. Then Sunday, we had meals for Sunday. We had some for Monday. We had some for Tuesday. Wednesday was always spaghetti day. And we used to go right down the line. And when we went to the market, that's the way we shopped. That's the way we spent our money. So we didn't have any hungry kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you cook when you got home, or would you cook the day before?
Usually I always cook dinner. Sometimes my son laughs. He said he don't remember coming home from school, when he started the school, and finding dinner on the table. What he remembers is me coming home from work through the back door and start from there. And I used to come through the kitchen, unlock the back door, come through the kitchen, throw my coat and bag up on the couch in the living room, and I stay around and start cooking. I put something on, put the clothes in the washing machine, and so I be doing it all at the same time. I come home many days, and after they get through eating, I used to wash the little clothes out in the sink, and in the bathroom, hang them up, let them dry, wash them out, socks, and all the time, so before I went to bed.
What time did you get home?
I usually got off, when I worked in Arkansas, I got home, got off at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I was home by 5.
And would they come home on their own?
They usually, if they were at the babysitter's, if my cousin wasn't there, and they were already home, they wasn't too far from the house. So there was an old lady in the neighborhood, you take in by sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you give her $1 a week. You know.
For all the kids?
Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she took care of a lot of people, kids, in the neighborhood. That was her specialty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the kids loved her. She was like a second mother to them.
Now, who were most of your friends once you were up in Winnawa? And once you started having your kids?
Well, I had a lot of friends. Girls in the same situation I was in. Women worked at the laundry. A lot of them had children, had never married, but that didn't stop them from doing nothing. They said they had low self-esteem. These women didn't have low self-esteem. They had responsibilities, and they dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrapped their whole life around their children. And some of their children become doctors, lawyers, and teachers, and everything else, you know. I'm glad to say my dad was there. He's a teacher. He's my worker right now because he chooses to stay home with her son. I got a son who does, did all of that work there. Painted that, put that floor in. I got a daughter now. She works at Ray Nate Sprinkler. She lives in Riverside. My baby daddy was the nurse. My youngest son is a hustler. I like that. That's the life they have to live.
Right.
The children's mother here is a very good artist, but she's a drug addict at this time. That's why I got there.
Yeah, that's the top thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She's
not
the youngest,
though, is it? No. My youngest is 30. She lives up in Lodi.
What? Did you still go dancing on weekends?
Only when I got a chance to. And my cousin was there. And he would say, you know, go on, you're young. And I'm not going any place. I don't have my phone. And I take off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you have to have somewhere to talk your frustration if there was any. And I think that that's what I've done.
when I came and I got involved into the organization, that it was a way of discarding if I had any. I didn't realize I had any, because when I found out that so many people had problems that superseded the problems that I could ever have, I just went into that trying to help somebody solve their problems. Mine was not that bad. I run into a lot of people who had more problems than I could ever have.
Did the children's father stay in touch with them? Or?
Not really. No, not really. They didn't. They didn't. And I didn't push the issue. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. One time I heard my oldest daughter make a comment. I didn't say anything to her because she had said what she felt. And she said that we were at the table one night, and she said, well, that is not important anyway. So they give me credit now for being their mother and their father. They knew who.
They
knew who their daddy was.
Yeah. All of them.
Yeah, all of them.
And they
had
some contact.
Yeah. But it wasn't the thing that they was all into it. They had each other.
Yeah.
And then as they grew up, they got involved in the different.
Were the kids close to each other?
Yeah, very close. Who's at the door?
That was the two of them.
Oh. Somebody at this front door. Or is that my eyes?
No, they came in over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They came in the side door.
So by the time you moved to L.A., oh, now you said that you worked three different places in Arkansas?
What?
In laundry? Or were you in the same laundry the whole
time? And I worked for 15 years in one laundry.
In one laundry?
Mm-hmm.
In Arkansas.
Yeah.
How much, do you remember how much you were making by the time you left?
I remember my first money was $15 a week, and they used to take 15 cents out of my paycheck for Social Security. So I went home at $14.85. But there wasn't nobody with me at the time, so that was enough, you know. I think when I left there, I must have been making up in the 50s.
And how much was that?
$15 a month.
So you had about
another
$34.
Yeah, and then they had the commodities where they would give me flour and meal and beans and butter and rice and sometimes canned meats and stuff like that, and that helped out a lot. And then you could go get a chicken for 29 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could buy leg bones for 10 cents a pound, you could get beans for 5 cents a pound. You know, things like that, it wasn't really hard to live.
Were
you
able to save money?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't able to save no money. I was just able to make sure that the rent was paid, the lights, the gas was paid. And that wasn't too much either. The gas may get a little cheap. I guess the most I ever paid for gas was about $40 a month in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the summer, almost no money, you know, not very much at all.
Now, was your father still out in the country?
No, my father moved to the city in 50.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And he was living with me when he passed away. But my brothers moved to California, so I moved him with me. Oh, that's why he died at my house.
And did he help out at all?
No, he would help, and, you know, he'd buy him what he wanted to. He got his little check, and he would give me so much.
Mm.
You know, and he liked his whiskey, so I would go buy him some. And me and him had a good time. I didn't drink it, but I loved to see, watch him drink it in hot water and sugar.
Did you keep up your singing and the music?
No, I did not. I didn't bother about that anymore. And after, you know, the kids come along and I was involved with them, I just kind of left that aside.
But did you have music in the house?
No. No more than records. Where you going?
Music in the house?
Come on.
Let's drop the, I always had a record.
There's
too many
music,
mm-hmm. In the blues.
Yeah. Now, you said that once your father died, your brothers We're both out here.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted you to
come look at it. Mm-hmm.
So that.
Are you guys going with him? Y'all going with him?
Yeah, I think I know.
Oh, that's right, sure do. I forgot I know.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. They little sister at school.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot her name. See, we have to pick her up. She's 2 years old. She goes to school though. So I said, her name after me.
Oh, yeah? Where is that?
Right over here on Hamilton Street.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. On
1860.
So
when you came
to LA then in 1960. Mm-hmm. Oh, now you
were in, do you remember Little Rock when they brought in the troops? When they
decided, were your kids,
no, they weren't
in school
yet, were they?
I had one in school, in elementary school. Do you remember that hole? Yeah, 1956.
The
day the troops came in, I was walking down Markham. I had to wait for all the troops to come by to get crossed all the way. For the Pinkett High School thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you experience, what was it like, in fact, moving in to Little Rock? Did you experience more racism than out than when you've been out in the country?
No, Ma, see, racism, it was there, but you didn't think about racism. You concentrated on survival. So, you were brought up under, okay, whites, you know, if I went to the department store, there were two drinking fountains there. One said for colored, and the other one said for white. I understood what color meant, so if I wanted to drink a water, that's the one I went to. And it didn't bother me that it had colored on it, and all colored folks went over here to drink it, or all white folks went over there to drink it. It was a thing that you accepted, and you really didn't worry about it. It was established when I came in the world, you see. So it didn't, at that particular time, that did not bother me. If we, that was the restaurant in Little Rock. Even though the cooks were black, this restaurant faced like this. This door here, that counter was for black folk. And that counter over there was for white folk. Even though the cook in the kitchen cooked everything, you know. So it wasn't a thing that I was upset because I had to sit over here. I couldn't sit over there. It didn't really matter to me if I wanted to eat. So I walked through the door that said colored over here. I knew not to go in the one over there. But even though we ate the same thing, the same people cooked it all. So it was a thing that was already established. And folks didn't worry about it. But as generations come in, that's where the change came. And of course, we followed the change. But, and somebody had to break the change. But at that particular time, that was not it. The bus situation. If you got on the bus, you went straight to the back. And you filled up from the back. Or you stood up.
Did you pay?
You paid. No, you paid from the front.
Get off and go back.
Yeah, you paid from the front. Well, you always had a back door. So you paid from the front, but you walked straight to the back. And you were fitted up from the back. But there are many times that depends on who was on the bus. If the seat was vacant, we sit in it. I don't ever remember getting up letting a white woman sit out.
Oh, yeah?
No. No, I don't remember doing it. You know.
So there was if the bus started filling from the back, there were certain points that even if the back was full and it was empty towards the front, would you come further forward?
You come further forward and you sit down if the seats were there. There were sometimes, I've seen some people who were sitting up, and if they looked back and a seat was vacant in the back,
And you got on the bus, he would get up and he would go and sit on the seat back there so you could sit up there. You know, because they wouldn't allow you to go to the back and sit down, even if you wanted to. So it was just as tough on white people as well as black people. You couldn't, they wouldn't allow you to cross the line and go sit in the back of the bus.
Yeah, I remember when I went to New Orleans the first time, and that was a big, when I tried going to the back.
Yeah.
Was there an actual line?
No, oh, not really a line, but you were glad you caught at the back door. You didn't go by line. But they would have looked at you crazy.
Yeah.
Or if you tried to come on this side of the restaurant, you would have been in just as much trouble as I would have been if I were to try to go on the right side of the restaurant. That's what that was. Mm-hmm. That just wasn't for black people, also.
Yeah. Well, what was your feeling when they desegregated Central High School and the troops were brought in?
I really don't know. I got a chance to meet Baby. She's in a book, too. I really can't tell you what it was. I didn't like the idea, because I couldn't see what the fuss was all about. First, I knew somebody had to was going to do it sooner or later. But the kind of trial and tribulation that mom went through, I don't really think they deserved that, you know. And I don't know, one of the girls that was involved was that her family belonged to a church that my daughter belonged to. She was older than my daughter. But my daughter belonged to that Christian Science Church when she was about 7 years old. This girl must have been about 14, I guess, a little older. But her family went to that same church. And, you know, Sunday 9 had to break the ice. But even here, I remember my daughter, I sent the one that's in there now, to West Los Angeles to school. She was among the first kids bussed out. She didn't particularly like bussing. Because she felt that even though they were bussed out, you have 50 black kids in a whole white settlement. And it could create a problem, you know. And the kids are under strain and stress. A lot of strain.
If any of your kids had been in high school when those 9 kids went, do you think you would have sent one of your kids or not?
No, I really don't know. I really don't. Because I think that it was really horrifying for those 9 kids. I'm not sure whether I would or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, you say you were standing, you had to wait to get across the street for the troops to go by.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any increased hostility towards blacks during those days in Little Rock?
No, I've heard of some incidents. Not certainly where I worked at. And we had a mixture of people, a lot of black and white people. But you gotta also understand that it's an economic situation, too. Because the people that work with me, white people, were just as poor as I was, you see. And we didn't count too much, no more than I did, except for the color of their skin. You pay, we have, most people don't realize this, but we have white people who came to this country. Under slavery might have been a different, they weren't sold like we were, but they were under slavery too. And some of them still have been under slavery, they have not gotten out any worse, you know, any better than I have been, you know. I met with women up in Kentucky, the Appalachian of Kentucky, in which they said, they thought Welfare Rights was an all-black organization. We said, well, I just happened to be black, you know. But they said, don't leave us out, because we catch just as much hell as you do, because we're poor, even though our skin is different. There are people who don't like us either.
Yeah, that becomes clear throughout all of in, when we, later on, next week, when we get into the welfare rights and the fight over should it be integrated or should it be, it was clear that you were always focused on the class issue.
Right.
Not primarily on the race issue.
Not never have been.
Yeah.
Because I lived where I lived coming up, there were always some white people that worked on the farms. Because the debt wasn't treated any better by the higher ups than I was, really.
Were there any white sharecroppers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, plenty of white folks in the country out there picking cotton and not have going to school. You find a lot of those people, though. You know, and then, but, you know, we look at the thing and we think that it's been all easy for all white folks, and that's not true.
Yeah.
There are some white folks that have gone to the back door of other white people, just like black people had to go to the back door.
Now, when you came to L.A. then in the 60s, you had the five kids plus with your six.
Mm-hmm.
And where did you live and did you get a job?
I got off the train on Wednesday, and Monday morning I went to work. In a laundry.
Did you find a job yourself?
My sister-in-law worked in a laundry, and she took me with her, and I went to work on Monday. I got up on a Friday morning, started to work, and had to turn around and go back to hospital. So I was on my way to work Friday morning, and the baby came at 20 minutes past 12.
And then how long did you stay off before you went back to work?
4 weeks.
And who took care of, who did you live with them when you first came out here?
I lived with my brother until I got a little place of my own down Main
Street. And the kids, the other kids?
I lived next door to a girl who had some children, and she would take care of mine while I was back to work. She had work. She had an old man to take care of. Plus, she was getting some welfare. I wasn't getting any welfare. And didn't want no welfare. And so she said, I'll keep the children for you. And then my brother, my youngest brother had moved to Richmond because they built motorboats and worked for some company. And he came down in September. Baby was born in March. They came down on vacation. And they got ready to go back. They took my baby with them.
Uh-huh.
And she was 6 months old. And she stayed with them until she was two.
And the others were already
in school.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that laundry unionized? That first one you went to?
This one that I worked on here?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then
Level 52.
You became involved in the union?
Yeah, I became a shop steward for the union before I started work.
And how did you get involved?
Well, I joined, you had to join the union once you worked in the laundry. And, then I got interested in one of the laundries that I worked at, the last time I worked at, the shop steward quit, and they asked me if I would represent them, and I said yes, and so they elected me.
Now, how large were these? Were these large laundries also?
Hmm? Were these large laundries also? Yeah, very large. Master's Linen and Supply Companies. We got great big places over here on Washington and Cordova Street. I mean, that was a large, it was a city and conference. It's not there anymore, but it was real large also.
Now, was the, when you became involved in the union, when you became a steward of the union, was that the first real kind of organizational activity that you did involved
in? Well, what I'd done when I was in Little Rock, we had a new manager. And one day I got to thinking about what we were really making. And for some reason, I don't know what was on my mind, I got to thinking about how we were, you know, what kind of money we were making. So I went back the next day, and I told the girls about it. And I said, you know, it's time to ask for a raise. So they hadn't given no thought about what we were getting per hour. And I don't even know why it came to my mind. I guess maybe it was the timing. So I took a shirt board you know, in fold shirts, you got a cord in the shirt like that. So I took one off and I laid out what had come in my mind at the house. So he saw out the window of gathered around the folding board, and I was leaning on the board writing. So he came out to see what was going on with his nose itself. And when he got out there, I had showed them the figures of how much money we were getting paid. And I thought we should ask for a raise. Because it turned out, I think we were getting 1.5 cents a shirt, if I remember right. Or 2.5 cents a shirt. But anyway, when he looked at it, and one of the girls said, well, why don't we move this half a figure and make this a whole? And I remember him saying no. And I think that was going to be 3 cents a shirt. And then everybody said no at the same time. Like, what do you mean? So, I walked away and went gossiping with somebody else on the other side. So he finally came around and he said, Danny, did you understand what I was saying? I said, yeah, I understood you too. You said you were going to get a bottle of raise. I said, but we're only talking about half a cent. I think that's what it was. But, a half a cent would go a long way, you know. So when we got our envelopes on Saturday, we heard this whole thing, and because we was happy, if he was, we didn't let on. He said, well, did you see your envelope today? But I think that was my first attempt to, I don't know whether you call it a
organized,
rabble-rise, or whatever it was, but it was something that came to me, and I just took my pencil and paper and signed myself with it. So that was my first attempt, because when I got to California, they did already have a union, and their pay was much greater than what I was getting there.
Great.